Hello, Dakota Territory. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to the journey we call Dakota Trails and Tales. Jump on in the Loose Tales Food Link Chuck Wagon. Then we will tool the region, the country, the globe. We will look at the news stories of the day, but at the end of the journey, it is going to be up to you by yourself to determine how and if this information might actually affect us living in a little piece of heaven. Well, the situation is unfolding in North Dakota. I appreciate all of the comments. Ironically, not one single lashing or threat of a scalping from last night's thoughts that I shared. If you'd like to hear those, go to loosetales.com. It had everything to do with the situation involving Indian Nation. Today, in thinking about it even more, and I'm fully aware now that the thought process was to get them away from the construction site down on the river, bring them up to the state capitol where protests should take place. We should be providing them with, why don't we just build them a bathroom? Why don't we quickly put together a contractor, build a bathroom so that these protesters have, you know, the utmost in facilities to relieve themselves, because we don't want them to be an Olympic swimmer and urinate on a wall somewhere. And let's just feed them while they're there. While they're protesting, let's feed them. Let's make it as comfortable as we possibly can for the protesters. What a beautiful government, federal government we have. And I was thinking more about the real issue. And the real issue will continue to be lost, because I continue to hear people, particularly from a national voice, talking about how this is just a cruel and unusual treatment of these Indians. We stick them on reservations. We steal their land from them. We murder them. We just put them out in the middle of nowhere. Hey, this middle of nowhere is what a lot of people love to call home. But you think about the people who live on Indian reservations that are not tribal members? Did they lose a bet? Why do they live there? They live there because these Indian lands, all across the country, not just the Standing Rock, all across the country, particularly in the West, are home to some of the greatest resources our nations have. I got to thinking about that, and so I started searching, and I learned that based out of Bozeman, Montana, an entity, a research center that I have complete trust in and have used regularly, the property and Environmental Research Center has actually looked at this dating back to February 18th, 2014. If you would like to get verification of everything I'm talking about, go to www.perc.org. Unlocking the Wealth of Indian Nations, Overcoming Obstacles for Tribal Energy Development. Native Americans lag behind other citizens in almost all economic, educational, and social outcomes. Indian poverty persists even through many reservations that contain valuable natural resources, particularly energy resources. Despite these resources, the vast majority of the tribal lands with energy potential remains undeveloped. The federal government makes it difficult for tribes to capitalize on their energy wealth. Reservation lands are managed by the trust of the government, and nearly every aspect of the Indian energy development is controlled by federal agencies. The complex bureaucracy raises the cost of energy development on Indian lands, and new energy regulations are making it even more problematic for tribes to tap into their own resources. In addition to the United States has failed to live up to its trust responsibilities, repeatedly mismanaging tribal assets. Despite these hurdles, some tribes are succeeding in developing energy and receiving a benefit for tribal members. Tribes are gradually gaining more control over the development of their lands, but challenges remain. Policy reforms that enable tribes to control their own resources will give tribes the opportunity to unlock the tremendous wealth of Indian nations. But I want to pull upon my experience of living on the Rosebud Sioux Indian Reservation in South Dakota for 5 years once again and remind you that it's the individual members of the tribe that typically are the obstacle. I fully understand that every reservation, every tribal entity needs to pull itself away from federal government. But it's the infighting that causes the problem. And then when you go to the public with a message and an opportunity to protest, to go to the state capitol in Bismarck, you could actually talk about we need more control of our own resources on these reservations. Instead, what are they going to do? They're going to protest something that happened in the late 1800s. Whoop-de-ding-dong-doo. Who cares about that? Let's talk about 2020. Let's talk about 2017. What does it take to manage the resources? Because, look, for example, the Crow Reservation in Montana sits atop of one of the largest coal mines in the world, the Powder River Basin, oil and natural gas. There is a tremendous resource. And yet the federal government is making it tough for us to even utilize coal, the most abundant energy source that we have on this planet, and convert it into something that we need, electricity. So, okay, there is a reason to have a protest. And the reason for the protest is about too much federal control on the local government, in this case, Indian reservations. And instead of staying focused on what could have been and can still be a great opportunity with a voice and a platform, we're going to talk about things that are completely irrelevant to the cause. We're going to continue to bus in protesters from every corner of this nation who have a message that they want to stump for. Let's focus on the real issue. The real issue, how do we manage our resources to acquire better wealth and improve human lives while improving the planet? And it does not start with boycotting a pipeline that's going to accomplish that very thing. How can the Indian reservation and the folks who call it home benefit from management of this resource properly? That should be the focal point. On a Red Shirt Friday, saying thank you to those individuals who have risked their lives to protect our freedom year after year after year, and particularly those that call one of the reservations of our nation home. Tremendous, proud veterans on reservations. I know that for a fact. I saw it. Dakota Trails and Tales. I'm Trent Luce. We'll take a break and be back with more on this Red Shirt Friday after this.